At the time of recording, it is Thursday, the 12th of October. We are finding our feet in our new home. This is the Cat's Whiskers podcast. Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, whatever time of day it is you are listening. Thank you very much for taking the time out to listen to our latest episode of the Cat's Whiskers podcast. You will notice I'm deliberately, and I'm finding it very difficult actually, to not say live. We've moved to our new home.
We're recording live. We're not editing anything.
We're absolutely determined to maintain the integrity of the live experience. Yeah, no filter.
Hashtag no filter.
Undoubtedly, when I drop a...
When you drop a bomb, then I might have to find a beep to play over it. And then I'll have to learn how to edit that beep. Anyway, regardless, I'm off topic now. Yes, we've moved to our new home of Spotify for podcasters. Thank you for finding your way here, and we hope you enjoy your stay. So around the table with me tonight, we have Adam.
Hello, everyone.
And we have Ant.
Evening.
So we've just dubbed Ant King of the Socials. He is keeping an eye, just in case somebody happens to... responds to the tweets tweets and threads and Facebooks that we've been putting out this week. Oh my gosh, yeah, he really is king of the socials. Adam has decided he's taking the position of pseudo DJ and is keeping a note of the playlist that is going on around us tonight. You may or may not hear some of that filtering through. So that, all of that in mind, and Ant's just decided to go into selfie mode as well. So we'll just let him take that photo, just to mark the occasion. Okay, chaps, right, frivolity aside, let's get down to the business of podcasting about ice hockey. So we are a total of 6 games into the regular season, 3 league, 3 cup. I think it's fair to say we're winning the right ones, which is a nice change, actually, I would say.
Yeah. No, I'd go along with that. It's been hit and miss. You know, there's been some highs and there's been a few notable lows. To be honest, it was nothing that I didn't really expect. I think that we were always going to get off to a bit of a patchy start. Things are still new. The players are still new to each other. You know, everyone's sort of learning the systems of the coach. And, yeah, you know, whilst those teething problems, you know, stay for a while, then I think we're going to get a few highs and lows. You know, hopefully after a few weeks when everybody settles down, then we'll get a bit more consistency. But we are winning the right ones. I mean, it seems like you can lose pretty much every game in the Challenge Cup group stage and you can still find a way through somehow to qualify. So, yeah, it's at the minute all about the league, and, you know, we've showed up for those league games, which is great.
Yeah, very much so. I mean, I don't know which sort of games to talk about first. I mean, I suppose let's get the most unpleasant one out of the way. I mean, you know, a shellacking at home to your nearest and dearest albeit in the Challenge Cup. You know, let's get some perspective on that, like you just said, Adam.
But if we keep losing games in the cup, we're not going to qualify. Mm-hmm. And I've got reputation to uphold, and the fact that I predicted we'd win the cup this year, so we need to start picking up points.
Oh, it's all about you.
Of course it is. There's nothing to do now. But in all seriousness, I mean, me and Adam were in the pub next door as that game was happening, and our friends from Sheffield were down, and they were very happy as they came out. They were not impressed with Robinson at all. They understood why he was a backup, but then I'm getting on the... It's only a cup game is going to start becoming a problem sooner rather than later now, the fact that we've dropped points in our opening games.
Well, do you think it could be an issue that, because with Robinson between the pipes, you know, the coach wants to sort of rotate the netminders at this early stage, and it seems like Robinson might be the cup netminder and Stojanovic might be the league netminder? And, you know, that sort of chop and change from night to night might be a bit difficult for the team in front to, you know, get accustomed to.
Yeah, it is interesting. I mean, if you ever talk to players, I think it is an interesting question to ask, you know, how you play differently in front of each netminder. I think, like you say, Adam, it does seem that Robinson's being given the cup games. And I think subconsciously, or maybe deliberately, I don't know, I feel like that is a bit of a statement about the intent of how we're going to use the netminders. I think there is an intent for Stojanovic to be the number one netminder. I think that's clear early doors, to be honest. So, I mean, maybe is Stojanovic a big factor in us winning the right games, I suppose? You know, is that... I'm struggling to find the exact question I'm looking for, but is that decision, you know, is that deliberate, I suppose?
Our last podcast, give it a listen, you might like it, you might not.
It is also available on Spotify.
Yeah, they've all been uploaded now. I raised the question, didn't I, towards the end. I was like, oh, who do we start this weekend? Bearing in mind, Robinson played the games... in Coventry,
yeah,
and played really well. Rock played at home and played really well. And lo and behold, Robinson played in the home game and Rock played in the away... Robinson played the away game and Rock played in the home game. And I've completely forgotten what your question is already.
Has it become something of a deliberate decision, perhaps?
Yeah. I think potentially. We did win our first cup game. And, you know, started extremely well and then held on for 55 minutes by the sound of it. But,
I suppose the other question could be, once we get the group stage cup games out of the way and the cup games become more sparse, Where does that leave Robinson? You know, do we feel like
shelled on Sunday, didn't he? So, yeah.
I mean,
that wasn't his fault really on Sunday, to be honest. He was sort of left high and dry on quite a few of those Storm goals, which, you know, he looked a bit sort of annoyed about. His body language, obviously, you can't sort of tell what he's saying under that helmet. Probably wouldn't.
Expletives.
Yeah, there'd be a few bombs dropped.
Forget ref microphones and stuff. We want player microphones. Well,
I think he's basically in the shop window, isn't he? He's got to sort of show the coach that he's good enough to play, you know, more than a handful of league games over the course of the season. So, no doubt he would have been really annoyed on Sunday because, you know, the defence, you know, left him quite exposed, you know, multiple times. So, look. He might not have covered himself in glory so far, but I think, you know, as the season goes on, the coach is probably looking for him to push Stojanovic as hard as possible. Because, you know, if the starting netminder is not being pushed, you know, he might get complacent. You know, he might think, well, you know, I can have a few bad games and there's nobody really behind me that's sort of waiting to oust me from the net and the starting position. So, I think it will be good over the course of the season. I'll make a prediction now that I think Robinson will probably play, you know, maybe 10 league games over the course of the season. But it's a case of picking the right games for him. Maybe the ones that, you know, are not the real crunch games where something's, you know, definitely on the line. I don't want to sound disrespectful to any team, so I won't say a certain team on a cold Tuesday night in December. But, yeah, I mean, they're the sort of games that maybe Robinson might come in and just give Stojanovic a bit of a breather.
Yeah, so let's just have a look at some of the goal scorers. So I think based on pre-season, a lot of people have already sort of picked out Nieminen as being a bit of a standout. But we've just been having a look back at the goal scorers across these six games that we've had in the season so far. And a bit of a dark horse that's emerged is actually Adam Johnson. As Tim, who sits next to me, likes to point out at every available minute, he's a former Penguin. Not that I care. Anyway. FTP. but...
Every day and twice on Sundays.
Yeah, absolutely. There's not a one of us around here that will disagree with that. Noel, I'm not sorry again either.
That's not a normal greeting when, you know, like I'll meet our lads, friends from Cardiff and in Sheffield. It's like it's a double for him.
Yeah,
it's FT GMP. And we're not talking about tea.
No.
Don't ask us to explain those acronyms.
Don't ask us to explain it while we're recording. Definitely not. I mean,
send us a DM.
Yeah, over a pint in Bunkers. That's normally the best way to approach things like that. Anyway, so yeah, Adam Johnson. So, you know, former NHLer, fair amount of calibre to him, and let me finish explaining this. He plays like I want to see most defencemen play, unassuming and just doing his job, just going quietly about his business. And I think he is, because until we looked back at the goal scorers just now before we started recording, I didn't realise how many of our goals he's scored so far. So I think he's, you know, as I say, quietly going about his business, and I like that.
I'm not surprised. You know, it's a nice turn up to, you know, I think we talked at length about the imports that we had returning from last season.
Yeah.
I wasn't disappointed with Anderson coming back. Anderson, apologies, I've not got my phone on mute. We'll do that now. But thanks for your message. I wasn't disappointed with coming back. And, you know, he started the season well. Niemien and surprising a few people, I think, with the dirty niggly goals that he's getting, rather than you know screamers and stuff like that.
He doesn't care how he scores, does he?
As long as it goes in. And absolutely. You know, how long have we been waiting for a player like that?
Yeah. He's got shades of Jordan Fox to him. That's not. I mean, he is no Jordan Fox. Let's be not yet.
Fox was Sam Hare.
Yeah. Oh God. Yeah.
And I wouldn't put Niemien in near her.
This is why I said shades of. You know, the potential is you know, potential for growth.
He's clutching it at the moment. Yeah. So long may it continue. But I did, you know, I know we're kind of in classic going off on tangent style. Who scored the goal against Cardiff on Sunday? Which was originally just like a backhander, and then it was saved, and then he tapped it in off his. It was our third goal. Against Cardiff.
Yeah.
Was it Wah?
Yeah.
Oh, what a goal. What a cheeky, lovely goal that was. Yeah. And I'm good to have missed that game, because everybody knows I like a win over the Cardiff Devils. unfortunately, I was at a wedding.
You say unfortunately. So. I'm sure the happy couple didn't think so.
They might not. I mean, none of us can remember going home, but that's a different story. watching the highlights, that was lovely. There was two gritty, sort of pokey in on close goals, and then there was that if it had gone in first time, they'd have been talking about a potential goal of the season. And as it was, his reactions were quick enough to like tap it in. So I think, you know, yes, we've got two players that are standing out with on the goal scoring charts, but I think we're starting to see that support come in now, if you like. It's not all going to, because we pre-season I was worried that it was all going to be about Niemien, whereas season started and it's not just Niemien, and everybody's contributing so far. So.
Yes, there is some secondary scoring going on there, but I mean, early signs. I know. Again, we're only six games in total, but you know, Adam, it must be encouraging for you, because you know this debate will wage on between me and you till the end of time about, you know, snipers and and shared scoring around the team. But we've got to. Sorry?
Sort the bloody defence out.
Well, yeah, there is that. We'll come on to that in a second. But, it must be encouraging to you to see, you know, a couple of standouts that, you know, because I know every year you in particular, amongst the three of us on this podcast, are, you know, sort of calling out for that marquee player, aren't you?
Oh, always, yeah. Because I think that they're worth their weight in gold, and that's why they're so hard to come by, because everybody wants them, you know, and there aren't many there on the market. So I think in the absence of that, if you can get a couple of guys that are going to sort of do a lot of the heavy lifting and maybe, you know, get 25, 30 goals each over the course of the season, you know, Niemien's on course for that. You know, Wah might be on course for that as well. We don't know, you know, it's early days, but, you know, that's probably a good thing. I mean, the one thing about having a sniper is it's great if you can keep him fit through the entirety of the season and they can score 40, 45 goals. But if you're any good in this league, you're probably going to get targeted by opposition. So, you know, they've got to be that good to score goals, but also sort of evade all the rough stuff and the physicality. And, you know, I'm not entirely sure that's possible. So it probably is, in hindsight, better to have like two or three guys that are, you know, taking the brunt of the scoring and that you can rely on and who might sort of maybe be on different lines rather than sort of like stacking your three top scorers on your top line.
Right, so
just
go on.
Just touching on clutch, well, point, you know, goal scorers and stuff like that. And this is a massive segue. It's a massive diversion, but just have to know, obviously the Elite League posted today about the all-time top goal scorers.
Yes.
With our man David Clark sat proudly at number one, 370 goals scored.
I mean, we're glad all over.
Yeah. How long is it going to be before the greatest arse in the Elite League? And I mean that as in a posterior, body part.
In
not,
the great, yeah.
Not,
okay,
yeah. Yeah. Robert Dowd overtakes him, 26 goals behind. Does he do it this season or is it going to be next season?
Well, I mean, he's captain now, isn't he, for the Steelers? So a bit more added responsibility for Dowd. You know, will he cope under the pressure? I don't know. You know, look, what is he, 32, 33? He's going to get there, isn't he? He's going to get there. Time's on his side. If it's not this season, then it'll probably be a few games into next season, assuming that he's still at Sheffield next year, which I'm sure he will be, because
he went to Belfast for a season, didn't he? Yeah. Season or two. That's where the greatest arse came from. So a friend over there just loved him, or maybe still does, I don't know, but in particular he's bum. So
yeah. Oh, I say, oh, hello.
I can't believe he interrupted me just to say that.
You've got to, you know, you have to tip the hat when tipping of the hat is needed.
Yeah, right, so just to rewind back a little, so you talked about the defence needing a little bit of work, and so, I mean, we've shipped a few goals, to be fair. I mean, it does make for an exciting game, but also at the same time, we're probably looking to tighten that up a little bit, aren't we?
It was something that I was a little bit worried about at the start of the season. I think might have talked about it on here, definitely talked about it with me guest spot on 3-on-3. We do seem to have a lot of our defencemen are quite attack minded, apart from old Caruso
and Tetlo,
and obviously, you know, big juicy Tets.
I can't wait for the Scotland trip. I can't.
I want him to wear a t-shirt with that on the front of it before the end of this season.
Oh man. Oh, I can't.
Just for Scotland.
I don't know how I would feel about that if you saw him, but
we'll just get a flag. Just get a flag, mate. Anyway. So and it's kind of proving to be at the moment. I think all well and good, Cole Neal keeps logging all this ice time, and that's massively commendable. But yeah, we're getting caught out. The game against Manchester at home, you know, to talk about in particular. Yes, it was a fantastic third period. We threw everything, and then everything again at them, and it made for a really exciting game of hockey in the end. But all three goals came away from sloppy mistakes, you know, bad mistakes from us, which, you know, we did tighten up, you know, the following game and what have you. But then, you know, we've been on the wrong end of a couple of big scores again this year, which is never fun. Only in the cup, he says, with the quotation marks. But yeah, I think that we need some defensive work. Maybe it's, you know, this is a new transition for everybody, so it'll be a new coach's tactics, you know, how they expected to transition the play and things like that. I think sometimes the simple pass, and I know you mentioned it on one of the games that you commented on through our X account. Sometimes the simple play is the best play to do.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, I can't disagree with anything that Ant's just said there. I think defensively we do look a bit gappy sometimes, and I think that's because guys are jumping up into the play. You know, offensively we look a lot sharper and stronger this year, and that's probably because we've got D guys jumping into the play, you know, and rushing up ice. And you know, after last season where, you know, we had very little contribution from the blue line in terms of point scoring, you know, what we've seen this season so far is, you know, promising. You know, it's it augurs well, but there needs to be a balance struck. You know, you can't be too reckless, because, you know, when you're coming up against, you know, the Belfasts and the Steelers of this world, you know, their forwards are unforgiving, and, you know, if they spot weaknesses at the back, whether it's, you know, because of deep partners and pairings, or, you know, if your netminder has an off night, you know, they'll capitalise and they'll rub your faces in it. So, yeah, things, it's early at the moment, and, you know, as Ant was saying, guys are still getting used to playing with you know, other guys on D pairings, and just understanding the overall systems and you know, strategy. And if we're still having this conversation in, you know, a month or two's time that we're shipping lots of goals, and it's sort of spread from cup games to league games, then you know, that really will be cause for concern. But at the minute, I will give everybody the benefit of the doubt.
We've had a tweet through, and it's all
like
it's like divine providence.
Yeah,
this, but yes,
how is he doing this?
How is he doing this? Yeah, so
is there a tall gangly?
Hang on,
Belfastian
wandering around. Is there a very tall gangly Irishman with glasses stood outside the pub where we're at the minute? Anyway, so yes, perhaps he's tapped my. If he's tapped my phone, given the state of his, I should be very, very concerned.
But that phone could do everything.
Yeah, I know. Tell me about it. So, the Belfast correspondent, Noel Gillespie, has been in touch via the artist formerly known as Twitter.
Yeah, just wants to know if he's added Adam Johnson now to his fantasy. Noel's not doing very well in the fantasy league, by the way, which is great news for me, because neither am I, but I'm doing better than him. And he's now recently added Adam Johnson to his fantasy team, so... You know, is he trying to be naughty and make him stop scoring for us? I don't know. But that's quite scary, the fact that he can't hear this until we post it, and yet he's talking about a player that we've literally just been talking about.
Well, I would just like to say, Noel, that you should cease and desist immediately from putting any Panthers players in your fantasy team.
I've got nothing to say.
No, that's fine. Okay, so yeah, the divine providence of getting a tweet like that exactly when we got it. In fact, let's talk about
threats.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. We need to give an award.
Rich Brad
38. You are our first poster via Threads. So I don't know, go and make yourself a medal or something. But anyway,
we've like everybody else, I think we signed up on day one, and then we've gone. Yeah, there's not a lot going on here at the moment, is there? But they going on a tangent about Facebook now and stuff like that. But now the sort of things out, I've started using it a lot more myself. We're going to start using it a lot more, you know, for us as Cats Whiskers Collective. So yeah, thanks, Rich. For your message, and Rich wants to know, he wants to bring up the Brit situation.
Okay.
Obviously, we know Ollie's been out. I didn't realise Jordan Kelsall, or Kendall, if you're Tina's phone.
Yeah, if you're my iPad and you want to and you just like totally ignore your autocorrect, it's Jordan Kendall.
Yeah. So old Kendall calling. he's been injured as well, but yet we've not been playing McKenzie. So yeah, throw that open to the pair of you. It kind of mirrors what, you know, Rich is saying. It kind of mirrors what happened last season with Hazeldine icing for Leeds over us. Why are we not number one in the food chain?
Yeah, I mean, I think anybody who has listened to this podcast regularly enough knows how I feel about this sort of situation. This kind of situation is what leads to players doing what Jack Hopkins and Archie Hazeldine have done. They've gone to a team that is going to guarantee them more ice time, come what may, essentially. So, you know, you've got to do what's right for yourself. And that includes ice hockey players, most definitely. So, but, you know, we've set aside a roster spot for McKenzie. So why the hell aren't we using him?
Well, I think the last weekend, because his secondary team is Telford Tigers, I somehow saw a tweet from Telford Tigers. I don't know why, because I don't follow them on X, but I noticed that they tweeted something or posted something. I think it's the right terminology.
I think we know.
But anyway, I think they were sort of pushing the character limits in terms of how many players were injured, because it just like ran on and on and on and on. So I think there is a bit of an injury crisis in Telford at the minute, which possibly means that Telford maybe pleaded and begged Panthers to spare Zane McKenzie for the weekend. But I do agree with Ant. You know, I think he's our player primarily, so we should have first dibs on him. And
yeah, we pay his wages.
Yeah.
So why aren't we getting first? We should. I mean, that is us being nice again. And we've talked about this. How, you know, even on the ice, are we too nice? We're not nasty enough sometimes.
Just want to segue this in. I mean, last season when it came to light that Hazeldine had been playing for Leeds, I think I said something along the lines of, with the greatest of respect, I don't care. I don't care what problems Leeds have got. That's not my problem. My problem is Nottingham Panthers. I'm a Nottingham Panthers fan, and I am seeing our very limited Brit roster spots not being used.
And then on the flip side, you don't want to upset a potential pathway. We are in desperate need of a pathway from junior to professional hockey, because unless they're a superstar like a Liam Kirk, for instance, they need that grafting, that bringing up.
Yeah.
So you don't want to go F you, we're going first dibs. But there are times, surely, when you go, you know, we need a player. We've got an important game here.
I mean, sorry, Adam, because I realise I have interrupted you, and I'm kind of going off on a bit of a thread here as well. I mean, normally I try to avoid talking, I like you two do it all, but I just feel like because of the limited roster spots that the Elite League have put upon us, we should be making the most of that regardless. I mean, maybe I'm being a bit too harsh on that. Like you say, Anne, yes, it's nice to build up those relationships with the NIHL teams.
I mean, I didn't realise Telford were in such a bad way, like you were saying, Adam, so I can kind of forgive it for those reasons.
He played quite a lot over the weekend. If he logged a lot of ice time over the weekend in both games, then from a developmental point of view, that's probably quite good.
Searches for Telford ice time stats. No, can't find them.
Yeah, good luck with that. From what I hear, NIHL stats are not easy to come by.
No, they're not.
But job for you there, team.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, he is at the rookie end of rookie, isn't he? Because, you know, when he signed for us, he doesn't even have a lot of NIHL experience to call upon. You know, he's very, very wet behind the ears. So maybe it's, you know, a deliberate ploy to give him a few more games in the NIHL through the first part of this season, just to sort of like get him up to speed and, you know, get his legs moving, you know, get him contributing offensively. And then, you know, maybe around Christmas time, when, you know, injuries start kicking in for us, then, you know, we'll need to call on him, and he'll need to, you know, step up to the plate and show that he's worthy of that roster place, because, you know, for him, it's a big deal. You know, going from what he was doing last year to like being a full-time member of our roster, you know, in the Elite League, on a side that's expected to do much better this year than last year because of, you know, how lousy it was. You know, a lot's expected of everybody on this roster, whether you're a young Brit, an experienced Brit, or a first-time import that's playing over here. So, you know, everyone's got a part to play, but, you know, I have got a bugbear about the limited roster spots for Brits. I think it's ridiculous. I absolutely think that the league is shooting themselves in the foot by restricting the number of Brits that can be part of a roster. You know, okay, I get the entertainment argument about, you know, imports are probably better quality in terms of what they can offer, and, you know, they'll bring people through the doors. But at the end of the day, a lot of fans want to see young Brits come through the pathway that Ant mentioned a few minutes ago. You know, they want to see them develop from junior hockey, you know, through to semi-pro hockey and then eventually into pro hockey. And I just fear that, you know, if the Elite League keep this system in place for a number of years, it's just going to dry up the number of young Brits that are coming through the system.
and we will,
almost by stealth, end up where we were with the ISL, the Super League, where, you know, rosters were just entirely import-based, and that wasn't financially sustainable, and that went bust, and then we ended up with the Elite League.
Well, here's the funny thing. Here's the thing I can't understand. And maybe because you watched the Super League, Adam. So, given that the ISL disappeared up its own backside because it wasn't financially sustainable, where does this argument come from that British players can hold teams to ransom? Because I don't understand that. How does a British player command more money than an import?
Well, I think it's sort of supply and demand, really, because obviously, you know, there's not an infinite pool of high quality Brits. You know, they are limited, so they will know their own worth. But I mean, what one of the many regrets of last season on the ice for me was that it just never worked for Ferrara. It just never worked at all. And I was looking forward to him, you know, being a Nottingham Panther for the next 4 or 5 years until he hung his skates up or went back to Peterborough. As it turned out, he went back to Peterborough much sooner than anybody expected. So, you know, good Brits will always be paid well. But the argument is, how can we create more good Brits? Because then if you create more good Brits, you will push their bargaining power down a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting argument, because I've seen people arguing for both sides of it, that, you know, that reducing the Brit import, the Brit roster spots was a good idea, and other people, I mean, I can't see how it is a good idea. That's just my personal opinion, and you know, you're absolutely welcome to sit either side of that particular debate, obviously, but yeah, it just doesn't hold any water for me, because it's like the chicken and the egg, isn't it? You know, how do you improve the calibre of the Brits if you don't have the space on your roster to be able to do that? I don't know. So, go on, Ant. Sorry.
No, I'm gesturing at Adam.
Oh, okay, go on.
No, I think you were gesturing to me about what you wanted from the bar.
No. I was about to say, I need to go to the restroom and I'll go to the bar on my way back. But we didn't want to say that. We've said it now.
And because we've decided to commit to the As Live.
Technically pause it here and then come back to it. But we're not going to do that, because that's not what we do. So you two carry on chatting. I'm going to go on. Martina, I'm assuming you want to.
I mean, if you want.
Yeah.
I'll give you my card, but it's on my phone and we're using my phone right now. So anyway. I think the Brit import debate is going to rage on, isn't it?
It will, and it should, because fundamentally, you know, it's in everybody's interest to get as many good Brits as possible. I mean, I don't want to do imports out of a job, but surely the health of our domestic ice hockey will only get better if we can bring talented youngsters through. Okay, I get that sometimes youngsters might need to go overseas to, you know, go into college systems of other countries to develop and, you know, play with better players. I get that. But then ultimately, you know, when they come back, you know, there needs to be a place for them on Elite League rosters if Elite League teams want them. So it's a case of, do the Elite League teams want a lot of young Brits potentially on their team? Or are they happy filling their rosters with, you know, lots of, and I don't want to say second-rate imports because that's disrespectful, but, you know, inexperienced imports that are still making their way in the game themselves. You know, it's a case of, do you want a young import, or do you want to take a chance and, you know, put your faith in a young Brit? I would probably do the latter, you know, every day of the week, because I want to see ice hockey in this country thrive. And to do that, you need to underpin it by having a good supply and a good sort of pool of talented guys.
Yeah, indeed. I mean, we may have talked about him before, but one example I can think of to bring to mind is Kieran Brown.
Yeah.
I mean, so at the time when Kieran Brown was still a junior, I worked with a guy whose son was playing, I want to say, for Sutton Sting or somebody like that. And we used to have conversations about the juniors that were up and coming. And this guy was Canadian. He used to be a goalie back home. And he would tell us about this lad at Bradford. This lad, he's absolutely head and shoulders above the rest of the players. And so I went. This is before I sort of got to know everybody, went to the pub and all that sort of thing. So I'd go and watch the junior games before the Panthers game sometimes. And one day Nottingham happened to be playing Bradford, and as soon as I spotted this kid, I knew who he was. I knew it was exactly who my friend at work was talking about.
Yes.
And he was head and shoulders. He played forward, he played defence, and I particularly remember him taking a shot essentially from his own blue line. Yeah. and the Nottingham goalie being shocked by it. You know, the such was the power behind it. And for him to now, I mean, from what I understand, he's absolutely ripping it up in the NIHL.
Nice.
But
he's doing amazing at Leeds.
Yeah, but you know, he signed for Sheffield, but Sheffield just didn't give him the ice time to warrant him staying in the Elite League. But I, you know, given how well developed he was and how much more developed he was than every other player that was on the ice when I saw him play in junior, I can't believe that he couldn't find his way in the Elite League.
Sometimes it might be as simple as a head coach just doesn't sort of see that the guy is capable of sort of playing to his systems or has the discipline to sort of contribute what he wants to the team. And, you know, if that's the case, then sometimes players do have to fall on the sword and maybe look elsewhere to, you know, get more regular ice time. But, yeah, you're right. I mean, I watched a couple of highlight videos on social media of Leeds Knights' recent games where, you know, he's the star of the show. You know, his stick handling's great. You know, he just seems to skate faster than everybody else. And, you know, it would be a travesty if someone like Kieran Brown isn't playing in the Elite League in the next 2 or 3 years, because the best players that are that age need to be playing in the Elite League. You know, with the greatest respect, the quality in the NIHL isn't brilliant, but that's no disrespect to them, but that's because there's lots of semi-pro players, you know, that have got day jobs. So, you know, they're not sort of fully invested professional ice hockey players. So, you know, there's always going to be a talent disparity. But yeah, we've got to get people like Kieran Brown back into the Elite League, and there's got to be that pathway. But for me, it just feels like the Elite League are making it really difficult to get good young Brits to come up into the league. Now, there needs to be a bit of willing on the young players' part. You know, they might have to accept that they're not going to get paid quite maybe what they want to get paid at that stage. But yeah, it's just how can we develop that sort of pathway for players to make it through? And I think at the minute, you know, it's just really, really difficult for that to happen.
Yeah, well, I mean, while we're talking about Leeds, I mean, you know, we've got a sort of a direct link.
We've got sort of a direct link there.
No, not Dirty Leeds. Guess who's back? But, like, Sam Gospel. You know, we lost him to Leeds when, I don't know, maybe... I don't think he would have been the next Ben Bounds, per se, but... You know, he definitely had some promise about it. And it's just such a shame that you see Brits that, you know, have got something, you know, about them, and they just need the right guidance, and they don't get it, and then they go off, you know, to the NIHL, and the Elite League loses that. And, you know, then that spirals into the reduction of an import limit, because apparently there's not enough high calibre quality Brits to go around. You know, I'd like to think that we can do a better job with Lucas Sheldon. I'd like to think that we can serve him better. You know, and maybe, you know, we can do for him what we couldn't do for Sam Gospel. Perhaps. Anyway,
I mean, this season we've got just Sheldon, whereas last season him and Bloor.
Well, Bloor's signed somewhere in as a I want to say he's a number one, but I could be wrong.
Okay, so I mean there. In that way alone, there's probably more potential for Sheldon to progress, because he's now the main focus. He is the backup. Hopefully, you know, we are scoring goals. If we can tighten up at the back and we can get a 6-7 goal lead or something, it would be nice to go back to those days where you can ice your young Brit netminder for the last sort of 10-15 minutes to get them some ice time in that respect.
Will it be
put them in cold when we've got two injured netminders, two injured import netminders?
Yeah, well, I mean, I suppose the other thing is...
Is he playing for the Lions? Are the Lions started yet? I
don't know if this season started. Yeah.
It's been kind of bitty with it being cup games predominantly, and obviously missing the league game last week, so I've kind of like... I feel a little bit like we're still in summertime.
Well, the thing is...
Definitely not in summertime. No,
we're not in summertime at all. I mean, the other thing with Sheldon is that I don't want us to have to use him before we've had the luxury of using him, if you see what I mean. You know, we could very well end up with another situation like we did in the playoff final, where Mika Wiekman got stretched off and Dan Green, who had only played one period of hockey that entire season, ended up having to go in, and the first thing he faced was a breakaway
quarter final, and we all know why Wiekman got injured. I'm still bitter. Yes.
Well, yes, we're all still very bitter about that. Yes, very much so. But that's the thing. You'd like us to get into a position where we can give Sheldon ice time instead of having to give him ice time. You know what I mean?
Long gone are the days when Basingstoke turn up with like one line and maybe a couple of subs. Or Edinburgh turn up with like not even, we have to loan them a backup goalie and that sort of thing. We've now got 10 teams in the league that are competitive, and yes, more so this season. And I think season's gone past. I mean, yeah. Glasgow have struggled the last couple of years. I think, yeah, they've not had the greatest of starts, but pre-season they showed definitely, for me, what they could do. Adam, you're a big fan of Fife, aren't you? You think really good?
Yeah, that's very interesting, actually. I was just going to touch on that, because they've started really well, haven't they?
They've started really, really well. And, I mean, the thing I've noticed about that is that there's a real energy around that organisation now. You know,
the coaches' interviews are brilliant as well, by the way, the post-match interviews. But anyway,
Tom Coolan's going to turn himself into a bit of a cult hero, I think, in Fife, because
you've only had the one pint.
Exactly. Yeah. That might be tricky after a few, but I mean, he's so sort of engaging, and I mean, I've found myself watching loads of his interviews this season already, because it just seems to have something good to say every time, you know. And his positivity was desperately needed in Fife, because they've had so many bad years, where, you know, the fans have been angry with the ownership and with Todd.
Are we going to have to hang on to him when we go to Scotland? are we going to lose him?
I did when I was following Pat around in Dundee. I'll
become a Tom fanboy.
I'll have a word with my friends in Fife, and we'll see if we can get you a little photo opportunity.
That'd be lovely. That'd be great. But no, I mean, I think he's exactly what that organisation needed, because it had been in decline for a while. But, you know, he's basically just chucked everything in the air and seen how it's landed. And, you know, he's recruited some really good players, actually, you know, and it looks like a really good roster. Now, I think, you know, it's still early days for everybody, so we don't know how they're going to sort of fare down the stretch, but they are going to be a lot more competitive, you know, and I think he's sort of trying to bring a bit more pride back into that sort of team, you know, that they'll fight every night. Might be a bit difficult for them, you know, on the second night, on the Sunday of a weekend, you know, if they've got to sort of come down from Fife to play Guildford or Coventry, or, you know, that's always going to be difficult for the Scotland teams. But, you know, I think if he gets them fighting on their own ice and, you know, getting the fans excited again, that's a massive hockey town, Kakadi, you know. And I mean, I've thought for years that
Sleepy Giant.
There we are. Ants, cliche bingo. Yep. One corner. I'm just happy to see them doing a bit better, because, you know, things were quite grim up there for a long time. And I think, you know, it's good to see those clubs do well. I always like to see, I know it might be our own expense every now and then, particularly the last season when we finished seventh, but it is good to see some of the smaller clubs, you know, the rink-based teams do a lot better and sort of like mix it with the organisations that can sort of call upon 3,000, 4,000, 5,000, 6,000 seat arenas. And that's good. And, you know, it all comes down to the coaching ability, doesn't it? You know, if a coach has got good contacts and can bring in a mix of sort of experienced players and younger players, then that's fantastic, because it sort of shows that a coach actually is really important, and recruitment can be really important too.
Yeah. Okay, so while we sort of sent ourselves up to Scotland, looking forward to the games that Panthers have got for the rest of October, it's all Scotland. League games, certainly. So we've got the Stars this weekend, and then away to the Clan. Stars the following week, Flyers, and then the Clan are coming to us for a Halloween effort. So
break out shortbread.
Absolutely. Get out your best tartan. So, I mean, I think it's fair to say Dundee have had some mixed fortunes, and I don't think the Clan have started the way that they would have wanted. I mean, there's been a lot of changes at that club, a lot of changes at that club, and I mean, you know, they have Mr. Ultra Positive, within their media sphere, don't they? Friend of the show, Aaron Murphy. So I think they probably might have expected better from how they've started their season, but there's the way that everybody started, I don't think there's a game amongst them that we can take for granted.
No.
That it?
Oh, do you want some more?
I mean, that's kind of the point of a podcast, mate. This is not a multiple choice.
I mean, we kind of went into that game, opening game of the season on that Sunday against Manchester, thinking, you know, it's a tough rink to go to. We went in, we were 3-0 up in 5 minutes, and then we saw that performance for the first two periods. We've seen, well, we've not seen, because none of us went. Me and Adam were sat in the pub while it was happening. But the team's got humped at home by Sheffield. But then the following night, we went away to Guildford and we won, despite being, what, two down? And then we came back and won the game. So we're a little bit Jekyll and Hyde, maybe, at the moment. We're kind of a little bit like a box of chocolates. We don't know what we're going to get. These are big, winnable games coming up. And like I say, I think the Clan game's going to be interesting, because like, I certainly expected them to be better than they've started this season. I expect us to take some points. It's tough. It's tough to call again. It's dead early, but, you know, get your kilts on and let's have some fun. Let's, you know.
I mean, I think this weekend,
I think the team I'm looking forward to seeing the most is actually Fife.
Yeah.
I want to see how good they are.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, I think this coming weekend, certainly, I think a certain amount of it will depend on us getting Betteridge and Kelsall back. I mean, I don't know what the extent of their injuries is, but, you know, it would be nice to see at least one of them back.
They're just league games, aren't we?
Yes. Yeah, we have cup games as well. Somewhere in there, I'm sure we do.
Sheffield twice, home and away. Yay. On the Saturdays.
Yeah, how exciting.
We'll start the podcast with this. We need points in the cup. So those games against Sheffield. And you know what? As promising as this start has been, it's not been perfect, but there are good signs, certainly compared to this time last year. I am sick of losing to those orange
gits
bar people.
I mean, we've all got our own family-friendly ways to describe our friends up north.
Thanks to all of you that have been interacting with us. You know, we've tried to get a bit more active on game days while the matches have been going on. We really do appreciate all the comments that you've got coming in. And there is a theme there about, like, this is good and all and everything, but let's see how we perform against Sheffield. Beating Cardiff, we've got a good record against Cardiff at home. We need to start performing against. I know we're talking about Scotland, but these games against Sheffield, we've got to start beating those people.
Yeah, you don't need to give them a verb, adjective. Oh, I was never very good at English.
I'm sick of losing to them. I'm sick of Lee, Sophie, Kat, Dallas, and all the rest of them coming into our pub next to the arena, laughing because we've been sat in there since the end of second period.
Yeah. You know well, what I, mean? I mean, maybe you.
Well, maybe it's just me. Adam was joining me a lot last season.
Yeah, but that was last season. This season.
Last season we had one overtime win against him, and that was in the cup at the start of the season. This season we split the pre-season games against him, and already we've lost.
We've had a shellacking at home. Let's not dress it up.
It's got to change. The Sheffield games aren't the be-all and end-all, but they're the games that bring your bums in. These fans that only come for those games aren't going to want to go and see other games if all they're seeing is us getting pumped by, you know, by them lot, game in, game out. Things have to change.
We've got to step it up in those Sheffield games. We've got to get the monkey off our back, because you know, I'm fed up as well, like Ant and like yourself, that, you know, we just don't show up in the big games against Sheffield. We don't do ourselves justice. I mean, for the last few seasons, it's largely because we've had awful rosters and Sheffield's rosters have been infinitely better in terms of quality. But, you know, we are a better roster this year. How much better we are than last season, I don't know, only time will tell, but the early signs are promising. I'd be really, really disappointed if we didn't get a league win against them this season. I really would. You know, we've got to sort of change the record for Sheffield, because it just seems like we're a little bit accepting of the fact that they will always just beat us.
It's almost a bit like it took us so long to win the league. That became, in itself, that became a burden. Now this is starting to get a bit like that now. I'm thinking the longer this goes on, the more difficult it is going to be for us to beat them. Because it's a mentality thing. It's in that straight away we're getting onto that ice and we've lost the game because they've got such a better record than us. And I know it's, again, in quotation marks, only the cup. These two games against them, back-to-back Saturdays, I think it is, are, for me, they're huge, because that could signify a potential change in direction this season.
Absolutely, mate. Absolutely. I couldn't agree more with that. We've got to do something, though, haven't we? We've got to, you know, even if it means playing a little differently, you know, to try and, you know, nullify Sheffield and, you know, just you know, throw the dice a little bit and see what happens. But we're just... It is depressing losing time and time again to Sheffield. You can't get excited for the games. I mean, surely, you know, they're the games that you're meant to get excited for, because you know it's going to be, you know, pretty much a sellout in the arena in Nottingham. But then you think, well, actually, it's going to be a full house and Sheffield are just going to embarrass us in front of, you know, a 90% Panthers crowd. You know, while they're 10% of fans in the corner, you know, live it up and, you know, rub our faces in it. You know, there's only so many times that that can happen. And I'm fed up of them ruining our Christmas as well. Absolutely sick of them ruining our Christmases.
Best Christmas we've had over recent years was Sam Hare dominating or winning against Coventry, wasn't it? It's because we couldn't play Sheffield.
Exactly. It's got to the point now where we ought to be... We ought to be going into the fixture meeting before the season starts and say, we don't want to play Sheffield at Christmas because it's two guaranteed losses and it just ruins our fans' Christmases. So, yeah, there we go.
And on that bombshell, I think it's probably about time to wrap things up. So... Yeah, ordinarily we would do this in bunkers on a you know, game day or something, but Adam and Ant have the very small business of heading to Notts versus Mansfield on Saturday. Nerves are probably going to kick in or alcohol.
And the fact that we'll be out from about 9 o'clock in the morning. So, I mean, tonight's bad enough because I've got a dodgy throat, so I've been knocking the pints back. But Saturday recording was probably not the best idea.
Yeah,
especially if not lose, and then we'll both be in a bad mood.
Yeah. I mean, nobody needs that. So anyway,
at least I've not got Man United to blame this weekend.
I mean, there's always somebody to blame. Anyway, we're going to leave that there. So we will be with you again in a few weeks. We'll get the diaries synchronised and see what's what. We will definitely be providing you some content when we go up for the Scotland weekend.
Definitely do one before we go to Scotland.
There'll definitely be some more of that. We may have a little surprise for you. I'm not going to give you any more than that, but we'll see how we go. If and when we get some details, obviously we will plaster it all over the socials. But we're just going to leave that there for now. So, thank you very much for listening. It's been good to have you with us. Thanks once again for our first poster on Threads. So it's been quite gratifying to have that account validated, to have somebody interacting with it. We will see you again soon. So for now, from Adam.
Thanks for listening, everybody. Take care.
And from Ant.
Take care. Give us a follow on the Spotify if you've not done us already. Follow us on Threads, Facebook, X, Instagram. We don't have a Snapchat, so... have a MySpace.
No, no, we don't have a MySpace.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's not 2002.
No, it's not 2002. We've moved on. We've moved on. But yes, everything else, all of the things that Ant has just said, yes, please, please do find us. Please do follow us. And yeah, send us your comments. Let us know what you think. We're also investigating a new feature of Spotify, which again, we'll bring you some details of as and when, definitely prior to the next podcast. So until then, thank you very much and good night.